Hi, I'm Jane.
G'day, my name's Clara.
Hello, I'm Bianca, and I listen to 103.9 Seymour FM.
Hi, I'm Ron Jessop, and the show you're listening to is As a Matter of Interest. And as we normally do on a Tuesday, we pick some matters that are of interest, and with Father's Day coming up, I've invited two dads to join me in the studio, and that's Peter Dernberger and Jared O'Sullivan. So welcome, Peter and Jared.
Yeah, thank you, Ron.
Thank you.
It's really good to have you, and I'm looking forward to our chat together. And I had planned this show just to be talking with you, but then I thought, hey, hold on, I'm a dad with three sons, and so the questions I'm asking you, I'm going to be joining in as well. But what we might do to start is, if we can just take it in turns to go around and say who our children are, and then also some of the things that we have done with them or that we currently do with them. I'm looking at you, Peter. Perhaps you might lead us off?
Yeah, certainly. Well, my children are treasures.
isn't that a great way to start?
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean that. I've got three children. The eldest is a girl, Linda. She's 30 years old. Hoping to have children of her own soon, I hope. And I have Catherine, who's 28 years old. And then there's Richard. Richard's 23. Linda is the manager of the Aldi supermarket in Seymour. Catherine is a school teacher. And Richard works at Seymour Gate Enterprises. They're fantastic kids. I love them, and I suppose anything I say about them tonight will only be a compliment to them.
I sense already, Peter, in your opening words of they are a treasure, that there's a real father's love for your kids.
Definitely.
There.
Definitely.
Yeah. As you think back over the years, what are some of the things that you've actually done with them?
Well, lots of stuff. We've always been a family that stays together and plays together, I guess. We spent weekends away, went camping. We used to just motel at the Great Ocean Road, things like that. And they remember those things because they talk about it even now when we see each other. Yeah. So, yeah, I'll have memories forever about that, and I'm sure they will too.
Yeah. That's an interesting indicator, isn't it, that our kids, what they remember. And just while we're on that, what does that do for you as a dad when you hear your kids reliving the memories of what you did with them?
Well, it makes me proud of them for remembering it and appreciating it. At the time, we probably think our kids don't appreciate a lot of the things we do with them, and certainly they go through an age where they're embarrassed by us. But we have spoken about that. As the girls matured especially, they used to tell me little circuits like, you know, that time that you were angry at us, we were laughing because we actually planned it that way. And I used to say, you little buggers. But, yeah, no, they remember it really fondly, and we do talk about it a lot. We really do.
That's terrific. Jared, we'll bring you into the conversation. Tell us about your kids.
Thanks, Ron. I've got four children. Lyndall's 20, Ellie's 18, Meg's 17, and Dan, the boy, the only boy in the family, is 13. Interested to hear Peter use the word treasure. Yes, well, it's a very apt term, but yes, we've had our children quite young by comparison to what people tend to do these days. Sandra, my wife, had Linda when she was 22. It's been terrific for her to be able to come through the sporting environment with the kids, and she's actually still playing netball with Lyndall, and we're very heavily involved with sport within the town, so that's given us the opportunity to spend a lot more time with them through their growing years, for sure. We too, like you, Pete, we enjoy our holidays and our time away from the town, but we also like to be involved in the community and with particular sport. The girls are mad keen netball. Dan loves his cricket and his footy, which we try to get involved in as much as we can. And also, adding to that, we've got quite a few nieces and nephews as well involved in sport. So it's good from a family point of view that we can all get together to support the greater family, really, and spend our primarily our Saturdays and weekends together. But Lyndall's now gone to uni, so we don't see as much of her during the week. But the other three kids go to school in Notre Dame, so they're a fair bit of their days cut out by travel. But we always get the opportunity when they get home from school to mix and see what's happened during the day. But yeah, having said that, Ron, I'm a little bit interested in your boys. You've told me a little bit about them, but maybe you should tell us a bit about your crew.
Yeah, thank you. And I'll do that. Just want to set a flag. We might get back to this. You mentioned that Lyndall has gone to uni. Peter, your two girls have left home. We might talk about what that experience has been like, but we'll just put that on hold. Yeah, happy to talk about my boys. I actually don't use the word treasure. I'm not sure what adjective I would use. Perhaps treasure's a little bit linked with having daughters, but we might talk about that too. Anyway, my kids, Glenn's 30, I've got three boys. Glenn is 33. He's married to Em and he works for the Victorian government in the mental health section. Paul is 31. He's married to Mel and he has two girls, Heidi, who's three, and Pippa is nearly two, which means I've got two granddaughters, of course. Paul and Mel are preparing to go to Japan as Christian cross-cultural workers next year. That's a story in itself because we are not going to be seeing them for quite a while, and that'll be my story of, you know, saying goodbye to the grandkids as well. Youngest son is Mark. He's 29. He teaches English as a second language at a training institution in Melbourne. They all live in Melbourne at the moment. Some of the things I've done with my kids, as I was thinking about that, memories started to come even than what I'd written down. But basically, nowadays, it is largely to do with sport. When I get with the boys, we'll go and watch the footy, and you know, local footy down in Melbourne. And we're pretty big on celebrations. Birthdays are important, and around that. So often we will get together for that. And also Christmas Day is important as well for us. But just going back, when the boys were children, you know, 8 to 10 or whatever, we on a Friday night used to have what we called family night. And being a minister, you're always kind of on call, and there's always the danger that you won't have time for your family. So we wrote in to the diary, Friday was family night. We did all sorts of things. We did chalk chases. We'd go for drives. We'd eat lollies we probably shouldn't have eaten. But but if you talk to my boys, if I were to say to them, Friday night, family night, they will have stories about that. One of the other delights we had is we lived on the Bellarine Peninsula for a while, and we'd go down to the Ocean Grove Beach, and I would take a tennis racket and a tennis ball, and we would have slips catches.
Yeah, been there and done that.
Yeah, definitely
and
did that on
they
the beach.
Loved it. And the other thing, if I were to say to them Mars bar catch, they will all say the same thing. After we'd done the slips catches, I would hit the ball way up in the air and see if they could catch it. And I'd say, OK, it's Mars bars catch time. And if they caught the ball, they would get a Mars bar. Just really, really special memories. The other thing I should say about the things now that they've lived through their 20s and they're all around 30, other times were important times in their lives, the graduations from secondary school and uni or whatever. And also some of the times in their life when they were struggling. I remember one of my sons had a really hard time with a breakup with a girlfriend. And it just worked that I went and spent some time with him. And just 2 weekends ago, we had the 5th annual father-son time where I go away with the boys and we just hang out together. And they've been really good times as well.
Good.
Yeah. It's time for some station announcements, but just before we go to that, let's have just a little bit of a chat. Anything ringing bells there? Anything that...
Well, yes. Linda decided when she finished year 12 to have a year off uni, and a friend of ours once said, "You'll never go if you don't go now." And she argued with that person. Well, she didn't do uni, but she's actually got quite a good position in her job and probably make more money than me.
And me.
My eldest boy makes heaps more money than us.
And Catherine did go to uni twice. So she did a psychology degree and followed by a teacher's degree afterwards. She did school teacher. And Richard, well, he's, I mean, I might as well say it now, Richard's got Down syndrome, and he's a lovely kid, and he's my mate, and he'll probably live with us as long as I'm around anyway, I hope so. Yeah. So, yeah, obviously, he went to primary school, right through primary school, and he went to the special school, and he graduated from there. So we're proud of him too.
Yeah, that's an achievement.
Yeah,
for
good
sure.
Stuff.
Yeah, well, in my case, Lyndall's just headed off to uni this year. She had a gap year, similar to what your Linda had. I was sort of a little bit unsure of how Lyndall would go down there. She was quite sure she'd go well. Yeah. But fortunately enough, in her case, she's moved to Melbourne and she's doing a commerce course at Deakin University. And she surrounded herself with some good people from this area. And they've really settled in well to the task down there, and she's enjoying her time at uni. And she might be the greatest con artist on earth, but I think she's actually doing some work down there. But maybe I should ask a couple of other young chaps or girls that are living with her down there to see exactly what's going on. But she seems to enjoy it. The other kids are obviously still in their secondary education, but it's. The uni caper is great for them, but it's not the be-all and end-all. There's some people just aren't cut out for it, and, you know, I can't see that society needs to be shoving uni in their face all the time. There is other opportunities there for the kids to do. There's trade, there's, you know, we don't have to set these amazing goals and targets for these kids. They just need to work their way through what they want to do primarily, and get the guidance from not only their parents but the people around and the people in the community that know them. So
you're listening to Seymour FM 103.9. The show is As a Matter of Interest, and I'm Ron Jessop, the host, and the theme of today's show is talking with dads about being dads. And I've got Peter Dernberger here and Gerard O'Sullivan, and we're having a three-way conversation. I'm joining in as well because I have three sons as well. Well, let's pick up where we left off. We were talking about some of our kids going to uni. Let's talk about what it was like to say goodbye, as it were, to some of our kids. What was that experience like for you, Peter?
It happened really quickly, actually, because, I mean, my wife, she does most of the planning in our family. I'm the breadwinner, and I just sit in the corner and shut up. But anyway, one day, the Christmas holidays, end of year 12, arrived, and we started talking about uni next year. And I thought, gosh, is it that late already? But anyway, the only thing I did is I helped my girls out wherever I could. And as I say, Linda didn't go to uni, and we thought she was going to go, but she just decided to make a career in management, and she's very successful at that. So sometimes I wonder where a profession, I mean, you can get a profession going to uni and maybe never apply that profession, or you can be a sign writer and become a multimillionaire like Alan Bond. So I guess yeah, I'm still proud of her, and she certainly made something of her life. She's got a career, a lifelong career, and as it turns out, she'll probably end up going to uni because Aldi's wanted her to get a degree so that they can put her into a real management position like state management.
Ah, they must see some potential in her.
Well, she has got a lot of potential. They used her as a little bit of a troubleshooter in Brisbane. She used to get posted to stores that weren't doing well, and she just got them going, and yeah, that's her. And Catherine, well, Catherine did go to uni, and when I finally thought, that's over, the expense is over, she decided to do another degree. So that was like sending two kids to uni.
I've got a couple of quotes, and I've got to read one of these out. A father is first a curiosity, then an amusement park ride, then a referee, and finally a bank.
I agree.
Yes. Costly being a dad?
Oh, well, it comes with the territory, doesn't it? That's about right. I was at a football training the other night and had some money in my pocket, went home with nothing because the four of them were there. But, no, look, that's part and parcel of the whole process. And I can remember taking money off my mum and dad too, and probably still would if I could.
I remember talking to Catherine, I think it was, I'm not sure, I won't name names really, about, gee, it's costing me a lot of money. And her answer to that was, well, you had us. So... I couldn't argue with that.
They do adapt quickly, though. That from what I've seen, that they actually quite like the thrifty lifestyle of living in Melbourne. They like to come home and said that they had the 40 cent 2 minute noodle dinner last night, and I think that's the I think that's the trigger for mum and dad to supply them with something extra special. Ah, okay. See,
exactly.
I think they're not as dumb as they possibly look, my children. I think. Anyway.
Well, they're educated, aren't they?
I should tell my story, or the one that comes to my mind about saying goodbye. Our eldest son was the first to leave home, but we were living at Bundoora at the time, and he shifted over to the eastern suburbs in Melbourne. So that was a shift of about 20 kilometres. And we missed him, but I didn't realise what lay ahead when our middle son finished his double degree at uni and he shifted to Canberra to work with the federal government. Different scenario, 20 kilometres from home to going to Canberra. But Mary and I are really big on releasing our boys into their lives. In fact, that's one of the roles of parenthood. It's tending them as children and teenagehood, and there's different roles there. But it really is a process of helping them grow up to go on their own way. And a part of that is actually saying to them, you are free to be your own person now. It really is cutting the apron strings. Cutting the apron strings, in our opinion, Mary and I opinion, is for the parents to do. It's really awkward if a child or a teenager or a 20-year-old has to cut their own apron strings. Anyway, how that happened for us was, I can still picture in Bundoora, it was the day that Paul was getting in his car to drive to Canberra. And we went out into the street, he'd loaded the car, and I forget the details of what happened exactly then. It may have been a hug, and you know, and but two things I do recall. We released him to go. Paul, you are a young man now. All the best as you go.
Yep.
Yeah, good. That's good.
And then he got in the car and he drove away and I cried.
Yeah.
And I actually was having a conversation with Jared last week about the tears and the emotions. And I don't back down from that at all. Those tears said... I'm going to miss you. You've been a dear son for 21 years or so. You know, been a child, and we've supported you through uni. Now it's time for you to set flight. So that was my story that comes to me about the letting go.
Well, just talking about that, I said before that Richard, our son with Down syndrome, will probably live with us until we can't look after him. But then my oldest daughter and my youngest daughter both said, don't worry about that. We're having him when you can't look after him. And even Richard cut the strings once. When Linda was living in Brisbane, he wanted to go and visit her by himself. So he flew from Tullamarine to Brisbane Airport by himself. We took him to the airport, and we're in the waiting room, and when it was almost time for him to leave, we said, we'll walk you to the ramp. And he said, no, I'll do it myself. And he walked off very purposely and never looked back and hopped on the plane.
There's more happening than meets the eye, isn't there? There's rites of passage happening here. And I think healthy parenting is doing that. If I could put it in terms of unhealthy parenting, is when parents keep hold of their kids and want to keep the power and don't release them. And sadly, the stories out there, we've probably seen people even in their 20s, 30s, 40s that have never been released, and that's not a good scenario. So I'm hearing good stories around in all of that. Just changing tack, what do you enjoy about being a dad? Perhaps Jared.
Oh, I think one of the things that I touched on before, the fact that my children are, well, Dan's 13, up to Lyndall being 20 and Ellie 17 and Meg 16, as I explained, I'm not that far away from them in age, so we can still participate in a lot of things together. And that's one of the things that I enjoy most. And even now that the kids, particularly the two older ones, have got licences and they've got a bit more freedom and there's a bit more accessibility to some social stuff for them, which we can still interact together with. I guess that's... It might be a pretty basic sort of an answer to that question, Ron, but that's about it. Being pretty close to their ages, we get a lot of enjoyment about that.
Yeah.
Likewise, I was just going to say, Jared hit the nail on the head. I enjoyed every stage of their development, and some of the stages were larger ones, like bigger milestones, but I've recorded them all in my memory, and I'll always have them.
Yes.
And they were great. Yeah, but it is hard to let go. But as you said, Ron, you have to be a good parent, you really have to. And you have to do it with conviction. You have to let them know they're always welcome home, but this is their thing, they're going out. We did the same. We left home. I left home.
I'd say there's been a few times in their life, Ron, where they wanted to let me go.
That it leads me to another quote, which is a Mark Twain quote. When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to 21, I was astonished at how much he had learned in 7 years.
Yeah, that's gold.
You're listening to Seymour FM 103.9. I'm Ron Jessop, and the show is As a Matter of Interest, and I'm talking with Peter Dernberger and Jared O'Sullivan under the topic Talking with Dads About Being Dads. Well, for those who've just tuned in, let's just run through our children again. I'll lead off. I have three sons, Glenn, 33, Paul, 31, and Mark, 29, and the elder two are married. Peter, just remind us again of your kids.
Well, I have Linda, 30 years, Catherine, 28 years, and Richard, 23. Linda is married to David.
Okay. Yeah, good.
My kids are Lyndall, 20, Ellie, 18, Meg, 17, and Dan, 13.
Next question, guys. A little bit more challenging, this one. What have we learned along the way?
Well, I've learned a lot. They say you learn everything from your children. My kids, they obviously had a better education than me, and they'd come home and let me know sometimes. But I learned what to say and not to say in public to my daughters, because I'm an embarrassment. So, not now, but at the right age, when they were in their mid-teens.
Yep.
I also learnt something once. I learnt that my daughters could swear better than me. Now, I never taught them to swear, and one day they surprised me. So we won't go into that, because, I mean, the language changes too, doesn't it? I had to sort of get with it, Dad. Yeah. So, anyway, I probably learnt how to cry with children, because when your kids are sick, you know, you feel it. And a couple of times they've been, you know, fairly crook. And then you cry with them when they have a romance bust up, because you have to cuddle them and, you know, support them. And we all go through those things. So you learn how to be gentle. Then there are the times when you learn how to be strong, because you have to. That's the hardest bit. As I said before, I love my children. And other than that, yeah, I learned, well, I probably learned what my parents learned, really. In the modern day, it's probably a little bit different, but But I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I pick up in your story, and good on you for being honest. There are tears, there's anguish there. It's not an easy ride, is it?
No,
we're dealing
not.
With humans, but these humans are ours. Yeah. They're our flesh and blood.
They are.
And sometimes the different circumstances call for different responses. And if we care, it comes from our heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the only time I ever did it. And I cried. I went outside and cried.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Another thing I pick up from your story, Peter, is that we're dads here. Dad's crying. We're used to, you know, the mum's crying, but hey, yeah, dads cry too.
They do.
For different reasons.
Yeah.
Too. And, you know, hopefully there'll be people listening in and they'll be finding this of interest and perhaps encouraging in their journey as well. Jared, things you've learned along the way?
Oh, it's a process, isn't it, Ron? You're still learning. I mean, there's never going to get to a point where you go, oh, yep, I knew that. But, I hark back to the ages of my kids. So we're still going through a fair bit of stuff you two guys have been through, in the sense that you're mid-20s and later, and so are you, Ron. There's moments in time where you want to kill them, you know, not nicely kill them, but they're few and far between. I mean, there's mistakes get made by everybody, so
yeah.
But the other thing, I mean, I know we're talking about parents, but it's very important the role of the wife or mother in the whole organisation too, because, you know. That's as or more important than our role, isn't it? So,
it is.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure whether it's more important, but different roles, I think both are really important. Which leads into my response to that. What have I learned? I'm not sure whether I knew this when I started parenting, but different ages are different stages. And when the children are small, they need the physical protection and a lot done for them. When they become teenagers, they're starting to exercise and flex the independence. When they leave home, or particularly when they get married, the relationship changes. Just let me pause there. With both of my sons that got married, I wasn't prepared for this and hadn't factored it in. What was happening there was, even though they were male, there was a transference of me being the primary carer of them to their wives becoming the primary carer. And the first time that happened, I was grief-stricken. In the very best sense of my role as the provider and the carer changed. And boy, the day after the first marriage of one of my sons, I was a mess.
A little bit of jealousy there?
That? Yeah.
Wasn't the champagne, Ron, was it?
Perhaps it was a bit. Yeah, the interesting stuff. So as they go through the ages, the stages are different. In other words, the way we had to deal with our boys when they were eight, this is my saying, the way you treat them at eight is different to the way you treat them at 18. But that's not rocket science. But you do have to adjust so that you're not treating the 18-year-old like they are an 8-year-old. I think you quickly are told that you're doing that.
Yeah, definitely.
But the other thing that I find really notable is, though our family had values, and Mary and I was important to keep to those values and kind of the house rules, as it were, each of the boys was different. And as an 8-year-old, in terms of discipline, all you need to do was look at them and they nearly burst into tears. But another of our sons was a strong, feisty character, and, you know, discipline, you had to do it differently for him. And I found all the way along, one of the things that was important for us is they were all unique, they all needed to be protected to be themselves, they all needed to be released to be who they were. And what I'm saying there is that it's helpful to be able to read the different personalities because they are not all the same. Any comment on that? Is that your experience of the different personalities?
No, I'm inclined to agree with you, Ron. Yeah.
I think they share one thing in common, in particular my kids, is an inability to get out of bed.
Yeah, my
when there's
son.
Something to be done, their bed's a better option for them, Ron.
Interesting yeah. stuff. And what about the keeping the bedrooms tidy? That's been an issue.
The whip gets out every now and again.
No. I'll just put in a quick... My eldest was the messiest room keeper, but you have to take your shoes off to walk in her house. It is spotless.
Ah! Role reversal.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a song on and... Let me say this by way of introduction. This is Stevie Wonder. The song is Isn't She Lovely? And in doing a bit of research for the show, I found that this song was written by Stevie Wonder about his daughter. Stevie Wonder with his song Isn't She Lovely, a song he wrote for his own daughter, Aisha. Guys, it's been great to talk. I get the feeling that we, in a sense, have just tipped a bit of the iceberg. But we need to finish up. A final question. What would you like your kids to say about you in 10 years' time?
Well, I mean, I'd like to say good things about me. I hope that I've earned their respect and everything, and Yeah, in 10 years' time, I'd just like them to, you know, talk about me and tell their friends about me in a very fond, memorable way, I guess. So that would make me very happy, yeah. It'd make it all worthwhile.
Yeah. Jared?
I'd like them to say that I've got a wonderful yacht that cruises around the Whitsundays for a living, Ron. That would be about it. No, I think if they said that they'd enjoyed their childhood upbringing in their early adult years and continuing to, that would be a pretty good result for me.
Yeah. For me, it might be a bit philosophical, but I'd just be really rapt if they said that thanks for being consistent and thanks for the things that you set an example in and being a person of integrity, but also we had fun and sharing some of the memories they had as well.
Yep.
That'd be pretty special for me. Yeah. Well, guys, we need to wrap it up. Just a final comment. Peter, got anything else you'd like to say?
Well, if I had it all to do over again, I'd probably do it better next time, but I'd still want to do it. That's
good.
It.
Jared?
Good words, Peter. I think it's been already a wonderful process, and I'm looking forward to the remainder of it, basically.
Yeah. My final word, having asked the question, I'm thinking on the spot here. Just so thankful that I had kids and just thankful for how they are. And because I'm conscious that parenting's not easy and there's so many variations these days, you know, blended families and relationships that don't always go according to how we would like them to. And I'm just really glad that the boys are good and we've got a couple of daughters-in-law. And I think another thing is that they get on well together. And gee whiz, what more can you ask than that? You know, when I hear that they've caught up with one another at a meal or been on the phone, hey, that's pretty special too.
That's good.
Yeah, we do that often.
Yeah, that's really good. Well, to Peter, thank you. To Jared, thank you. And thanks for kind of including me as the introducer into the conversation.
Well, I've got something on you now, Ron.
Yeah. Well, we'll leave it there. And there's some songs coming up. Clat Stevens, Father and Son, Mama Cass, Dream a Little Dream of Me. I look forward to you listening in next Tuesday for another edition of As a Matter of Interest.
It's not time to make a change. Just relax, take it easy. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to know. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I am old, but I'm happy. I was once like you are now, and I know that it's not easy to be calm when you found something going on. But take your time, think a lot. Why, think of everything you've got, for you will still be here tomorrow, but your dreams may not. How can I try to explain? When I do, he turns away again. It's always been the same old story. From the moment I could talk, I was ordered to listen. Now there's a way, and I know that I have to go away. I know I have to go.
It's not time to make a change. Just sit down, take it slowly. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to go through. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I am old, but I'm happy. All the times that I've cried, keeping all the things I knew inside. It's hard, but it's harder to ignore it. If they were right, I'd agree. But it's them they know, not me. Now there's a way, and I know that I have to go away. I know I have to go.
Shining bright above you, night breezes seem to whisper, I love you. Birds singing in the sycamore tree, dream a little dream of me. Say nighty night and kiss me. Just hold me tight and tell me you'll miss me while I'm alone and blue as can be. Dream a little dream of me. Stars fading, but I linger on, still craving your kiss. That leave all worries behind you. But in your dreams, whatever they be, dream a little dream of me. Sweet dreams that leave all worries.